It's May 5th, 2018, and podcasting just got a lot more relaxed. I'm Six Detmar.
And I forgot I need to go close a door.
Goodbye.
Hi, folks. If you're hearing this, it's because I decided to leave this in, which I'm pretty sure I did. You know, just talking while Nick gets up and closes the door to his podcasting studio, which I'm guessing is his bedroom.
And I'm back. It turns out, yes. Are we still recording?
Oh, yeah.
Is this thing still on?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, no, I have lots of things open in terms of windows and doors because it's so hot. It's so very hot, and I have no AC at the moment. And so I decided to let in the natural elements, just get a little whiff of the city to cool me down.
Well, we'll have to keep this episode on the shorter side so that you do not die.
Yes, I have my O2 meter up here now, and it is quickly dropping.
All right. Excellent.
Just like our MMRs.
Nick, I've got some bad news about the history and future of podcasting.
Are we on a podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do that? Did I do that?
Well, I mean, I did the, you know, like, it's May
What's
5th
the day?
Thing. I already did that.
Hmm.
You never said, and I'm Nick Cease, and et cetera. But,
okay.
You
know. Well, it's up to the listener to decide who I am, what episode number it is, what they're listening to, and what it's about, and what we talk about on the podcast.
We usually don't list episode number, though. This is bad content.
No, so, but I want to. I want to start, you know, saying the number. I feel like a number, it's, you know, it's two digits right now. It's soon to be three digits.
It's true. It's
pretty big deal. Pretty big part of this garbage.
And for all of that time, Nick, I have not had a proper desk chair.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've always recorded in either, like, a repurposed dining room chair for, like, a dining room table, not a nice one, or in a director's chair.
Oh.
And now I have a desk chair that can lean back, and we're doomed.
Oh, no.
I'm crucially relaxed. A part of my distinct tone in all of my podcasts has been how tense and on edge and ready to react to any stimuli, and now I kind of just want to take a nap.
You just want to... this is great. This is like... You're going to get into my mode of just like, you know, that's fine, man, except when it comes to certain things that we talk about. But like, we'll be talking about stuff, and I'll just be like, yeah, that's the case, but I mean, shoulder shrug. I wish we had a sound for a shoulder shrug, you know?
It's true. It doesn't quite do it justice just to say shoulder shrug.
No.
Nick, what kind of topics have we got for the folks this week?
Really nothing. Basically nothing.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. This has been another episode of Bottle Crow Reborn. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher if you want to give us a rating or review there.
Stay in school. Be cool. Be cool. Stay in school.
I mean, listen, I dropped out of college, you know. You don't have to. But you were going somewhere. Go there.
I'm here. I'm in school. I'm almost done with my school. However, it feels like it's increasingly farther and farther away. However, Reddit, the source for all things good and free in democracy and rhyming, there was a post by somebody, a high school, or the equivalent of high school teacher in China. His name is Bill. I don't know if his name is actually Bill, but talking about one of his students who was, I think, 7 to 8K, and he wanted to drop out to try to play Dota 2 professionally. And so there was this guy, the teacher, Bill, made a thread, and he was asking for people to try to talk Bill. No. What's his name?
Mike is the kid.
Mike. There we go. Trying to talk Mike out of dropping out of school and becoming a pro player. Trying to become a pro player. And of course, our best friend, Eternal Envy, who dropped out of the University of Toronto, where he was doing some kind of engineering program, to himself become a pro player. He commented saying something along the lines of, you know, if you're 7 to 8K, like, it's, you know, it's not unreasonable to try to become a pro player. You're in, like, the top 100 or so, probably. But if you're below 6K, he says, these are his guidelines, and you've played Dota for more than, like, 2 years, probably not meant for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to get your thoughts. I don't know if we have any thoughts. Should kids stay in school? Is it a good thing that people drop out to play video games professionally?
A part of it is hard to speak to because I don't know what the situation is like culturally in China, right?
True.
Because here in the United States, if you are a high school dropout, that's going to be, even if you're actually, like, smart and know your shit, that's going to be a big problem for you finding a job if Dota doesn't work out. It's just going to be a thing that people see on an application and are like, ugh.
It's more like your earning power. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really hard to get into a job with a good wage. Like, that's the whole point of getting successfully more and more expensive pieces of paper. It's like, it's easier to get a job with a higher wage. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's not a gimme. That's, you know, listen, I'm betting almost everyone that listens to this podcast is a millennial. You all know. It's not a guarantee like it sort of used to be. But, you know, it does make a difference, and it is silly to throw everything away if you, like, to chase Dota and then not have a backup, like, throw away the possibility of a backup plan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like what might... again, I was thinking too much like a Westerner, right? I was going to say, like, it might make sense to, like, try out for some stuff during the summer break or something, but their summer break is almost certainly not like ours. It's, you don't have 3 months in a row to just, like, try and get into some big tournaments by going through open qualifiers or something.
Yeah, if it's anything like the Japanese system. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Westerners, like, the one thing we know about, like, just general, like, Eastern Asian, like, school and education stuff is that, you know, there's a ridiculous amount of pressure. It's very hard. But I don't know actually what happens if, you know, because not everybody is actually going to make it through, like, all the ridiculous amount of pressure and become a doctor or something. So, like, what happens, you know, when you don't continue through and get, you know, a 4.0 GPA or whatever, the, you know, you get all A's, the best grades, yada yada. I don't know what happens. I don't know, like, what paths there are. But
yeah,
I mean, I think this is kind of similar-ish between cultures. When you have people who are of, like, high schoolish age, or they're younger than 18 or whatever your age of majority is in your country, and they, like, say, you know, this idea of these young people dropping out to do, like, work as kind of like a personality type deal, like singers and stuff, or if you're an idol or something, whatever it is in, like, Eastern countries, it's like a thing that happens. However, there's this structure around it, and, like, you can have a private tutor. Generally, you're, like, signed as part of an agency, and so there can be tutoring through that, and there's a system, right? There's a plan. Somebody has thought about it. But when it comes to video games, the barrier to entry for Dota 2 is nothing. It is free. As long as you have something that you can play it on, you can play the video game. And then if you spend enough time in it, then maybe you actually are good enough to where you can make money off of that. But it's, you know, it's the typical internet thing. There's less structure here, which means there's more freedom, but there's also, you know, more risk associated with that.
Yeah. I don't know. So one of the things Envy talks about is he's like, listen, if you don't take the shot, you're always going to wonder if you could have made it, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like Envy's failing to see that this cuts both ways. Because yeah. if you go for, like, okay, let's... I didn't... I'm going to use a personal example that doesn't line up one-to-one, right? I definitely didn't fuck around in high school because I was going pro in Dota. I fucked around in high school because I was a dumb shit.
Well, that's like, yeah, that's the high school way, right?
Sure, but people. Like, and it's, so I have times where I'm like, gosh, like, I don't think I'm a genius person, but I'm okay. I'm smart enough to do well in school.
You clean up well.
And I didn't do well in school, and I sort of wonder, like, gosh, I wonder if I had actually, like, given a shit and tried and done literally any homework the last 2 years of high school, how that would have gone for me. Like, just because, like, the only, you're always missing shots. You're always missing opportunities. That's part of life. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to say, therefore, you shouldn't worry about missing opportunities. Opportunities are a thing. But, like, if you go for this Dota opportunity and you miss, and then you're working at a convenience store and you're 25 years old and you're like, gosh, I wonder what things would be like if I'd stuck with high school. That's also a possibility.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, I think as, I don't know. It's, I hate talking about like, oh, as, you know, esports get more and more normalized. Because I don't really, I think the future that a lot of people who are in the esports scene think, or like the vision they see of the future, kind of doesn't really fit with what I think as like a person, definitely not on the outside, but I'm definitely not like, you know, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid of esports as the future. Like I love, you know, watching Dota and stuff like that. I'm on a Dota 2 podcast. Occasionally we talk about Dota 2, but I don't know if that's going to be some sort of glorious future with a massive, massive industry, even though, you know, we already have a big industry now. But I would imagine, or I would hope that one of the things that could happen is that there is more like organizations who are used to doing this, who would like scout, have some sort of scouting program for younger talent, because I think it works out well because then the organization gets this younger talent. And so, you know, if you find the next Sumail, there's monetary value in that for you, right? So they have an incentive to do that. And then there's at least some kind of structure, say like, you know, the US has one organization to whatever that do this. China has a few, you know, you can go to a few in Europe and Russia, whatever. If there's like a business plan behind that where you can make money off of, you know, providing this kind of structure, I think that'd be a good thing. So I would like to see something like that that isn't trying to like poach, you know, kids who play a lot of video games out of high school, but does encourage some sort of, you know, the growth of some sort of structure there, similar to like singers and stuff.
But I mean, like, do we know that something like that doesn't low-key exist? Because like, okay, let's talk about some Sumail, right? Sumail learned Dota playing it in Pakistan. He was playing in Pakistan and he was just a pub star. And he translated that into an opportunity to move to the United States and play Dota here. And like, he didn't move with his parents. His parents are still in Pakistan. Like, that was just, that just happened because of Dota. Someone must have found him somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure in all the true sites and stuff, there's got to be something on this, especially from around TA5. Should look into it, because it'd be interesting. I wonder if it was, like, a thing EG did. Because the thing is that we have, unlike, you know, the world of acting, singing, whatever, like, talent organizations, there's a somewhat objective measure of how good a person is, right? You can see how many games they play. You can see their MMR. And so I wonder if, you know, the big organizations, I mean, I'm sure they look there, and especially when you're trying to fill a spot, but I wonder how many people, how many hours are spent, like, looking into that kind of thing when you look at the leaderboards.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting thing to know.
Dealing with the particular issue of the young boy Mike in question from this Reddit thread, there is sort of a happy ending to this, or a happy development, I guess, in this story. I don't know if you saw the message from KBBQ, aka Jack Chen. Basically, he said, are you guys near Shanghai or Changsha? And if that's the case, if you're around these times, I could bring Vici by and they could talk to him about what that means, what this idea actually means in reality. And like, oh yes, actually, they are in Shanghai. This totally might happen. He might get this opportunity to talk to some legitimate Chinese pros and make a more informed decision.
Yeah, that's good. Especially if it's like Jack and, you know, just an organization like, you know, VG. That's good to hear. I didn't see this comment.
Yeah.
It's a hopefully ever after. Lovely. Glad to hear.
Now, what if Vici shows up at TI with a new hotshot kid mid from China?
Did we call it? Did we highlight it first? Who's to say? Probably not. I don't think so.
We probably beat Dire Times. But, you know,
it's all about the inter Dota 2 podcast
Right. If you didn't know, folks, specifically, there's a rivalry between us and Dire Times, and it's not like a rivalry where, like, we're friends. We're rivals and where, like, we want to, like, make them suffer and take away any fame and fortune they've ever had. You know.
You gotta go right for the throat, I guess.
This is war, and I'm sure Jesse will hear this podcast and not never hear it because he doesn't care.
Let's move on out of here. I'm going to pack Colin up in the trunk for now. Let's take a trip on up to Russia.
Okay. Is there another teen dropping out of high school? What are we doing?
A team dropping out of high school. Yes.
Damn.
I was going to, I don't know where this boat was going. We had a Jeep and we were going somewhere.
There's a school in Moscow where their team formed a Dota club. It's an after school club, and all of them all at once were like, "We're going pro," and they left.
That's great. There was a big walkout in all of Russia. Everybody's going to play Dota 2, and everybody's going to Epicenter XL.
Man, actually, you know what? I'm sorry. You were doing a good transition thing. But imagine if there was an anime about like a bunch of like, high school kids.
I knew this was where this was going, and I was trying to stop it. I knew when I started it, club. I knew I could see where it was going, and I was trying to veer off. So I was
and then they're
like
so good that they go pro.
There's gonna be so it's
like chaos.
We gotta pitch it. Gotta pitch it now. So it's an anime where I guess everybody's it's in Russia. And after school, they all play Dota 2, or they play a video game, and then they all try to go pro. And through the power of friendship, they all manage to go pro. And
No, it's tragic. It's a tragic. It's like this story of like, it's one of those like stories where it turns on you real hard, and like the last like fourth of this, because it's like it's this happy like build, and like they get their shot and they don't make it, and they're all like, okay, it's fine, we'll try again next season. And then their mid speaks up and is like, sorry, I got poached.
Oh, so the team is like split apart. Suddenly they're torn apart by this drama. So in the universe, there's a podcast, and it's called like, what would the non-copyright infringement title of our show be, you think?
Like a Follow Crow?
Like Glass Pigeon. Flask. Let's go with Flask for bottle. Flask.
I feel like Raven, it's Flask not, Raven. I feel like it's not like as directly connected, but Mughound is a good name.
Mughound? Let's go with okay. Mughound 2. And they report on, you know, this new player from Russia who's been poached by Navi, and he's gonna be Dendi's replacement that Dendi is training. And then they hear it from our their podcast first, this anime Russian Dota 2 team. And then there's this sad scene where their mid player has to tell them goodbye, and he has to leave his family behind. It would be very sad. That's the last fourth, right? So this happens like right at the three quarters of the way through. That's what happens. However, they get a new mid, and it's working out, and they actually, you know, they're building together as a team again. In the final episode, they make it to TI. They make it to the main stage. I don't know how. And they face against... okay, I'll have to change. They weren't poached by Navi. They were poached by Fnatic. And so the final confrontation in the final episode is Fnatic versus, you know, Team DIG or whatever. And that way we can get Eternal Envy himself to be in an actual anime. So it's Eternal Envy as the captain of Fnatic... the fake Fnatic team in the anime beating this fake Russian team in the show.
And his new mid player, Sasuke. That's right. It's a Naruto AU. I had
I'm
other
just
good
trying
ideas
to talk,
for
I'm
how
trying
this
to,
could suck. But
I'm trying to increase the percentage of this show that's about anime so that we can lure Eternal Envy onto the show at some point for Jackie's Chow. A literal Jackie's Chow segment. That would be pretty crazy.
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be great.
So what happened at Epicenter?
Fuck me. What were you talking about? Epicenter XL is going on. It's a major, and it's in Russia, right? I haven't gone crazy? Okay, great. So Tortellini's been tweeting a bunch of stuff from it. One of the things he tweeted... Well, first off, their production value. Who's doing this? Epicenter. It's,
I don't know.
Is Epicenter an organization? We're pretty good at this whole podcasting thing, huh?
I mean, Epicenter's had some pretty great, like, presentational stuff throughout, like, throughout its history. Like, the first Epicenter had the giant animatronic Roshan and stuff that would, like, roar when someone got the Aegis. I mean, like, it was pretty.
The organizer is Epic Esports Events.
I think they actually earned that name.
I believe so. Because their stage, it looks pretty fly, if you will. They have, you know, some nice screens, some nice, like, 3D, like, got, like, steps. The booths are set up well. They have good responsive things that happen on the stage, depending on, like, Roche dying or other things in-game. And they had this great intro, like, cinematic made in Dota 2. Like, in Source 2, rather, is what I mean. With, like, the names of the teams on different characters and stuff. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend finding it and watching it. It's got, like, PA's weapon is the secret, like, Team Secret's eye. Mm-hmm. Like, Navi is on the back, written on the back of Naga. The Clockwork, I think, has Liquid's logo on it. Something like that. All these cool things. And it was just a nice hype thing. And it gets me excited for TI.
It also feels like it had the most, like... Here we go again, I guess.
Oh,
here's the Jackie Mao invite. The most anime-ass representation of Chronosphere I've ever seen. Where, like, it's just, like, Chronosphere happens, and then Faceless Void jumps into it, and he's just, like, basically, like, nonstop blinking around it, hitting people.
He was basically using Omni Slash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. But it was very cool, you know, have this. It's nice whenever tournaments actually, you know, put the production value into making something that's hype and Dota 2 related, you know. It's easy, it's not cheap, but like it's not complicated to try to put something Dota 2 related together. So I like it whenever, you know, we see something in terms of some sort of custom cinematic from tournaments. It's a cool thing.
Actually, can I take a second here to be off topic and put something over?
Please do.
Okay. You remember me talking previously about the Summit of Power, which is a, you know, Beyond the Summit tournament, but it's for the game Dragon Ball FighterZ, right?
Yes.
Right, they have their people that they invited, and they had some qualifiers, and now they have some nominations to basically pick the five people that will get invites based on community voting. And so if you, I'll post a link in the show notes. Y'all should go over there and vote for Yohosie, because there are almost no female fighting game players, and she's fucking badass, and she deserves an invite. We, like, there are some other female players on there who are kind of like, frankly, just not at the level, right? Like, they're good, and it's like, I would like to see them in because I want to see more representation in the community. But it's like, also, Yohosie actually deserves to be there. You're not throwing her a bone. She deserves it. You should vote for Yohosie.
Cool.
She's great.
That's good.
Anyway, sorry to be off topic.
Nah, all good. It's, you know, a Dota 2 podcast where we sometimes talk about Dota 2. So it's within the realm of our garbage.
Indeed.
So more on Epicenter. First off, Liquid are officially, mathematically in TI now. It's,
hooray.
It's not like a big deal. We knew this was going to happen, but now we have two teams who have mathematically secured their invite spots. So 2 out of 8 seats are taken. I know everybody's scrambling for the last 6. And also, there's been this team, they're a Russian team, and they came through, I think, like, basically wild card qualifiers to Epicenter, called Fly to the Moon. And who the fuck are Fly to the Moon? Because they beat OG, they beat Liquid, and they beat VP in 3-0 series.
Do you want to know who they are?
I mean, I know who they are. So they're Silent, Iceberg, Non Grata, No Fear, who's the captain, and Always Wanna Fly.
So, but I didn't know Non Grata, but those other 4 players are all Russian all-stars.
Really? Okay, I've only ever heard of No Fear, kind of.
Yeah, you don't know Always Want to Fly? You don't know Silent?
No, no, tell me, please.
I mean, like, let's say Always Want to Fly was on Empire for a while. mostly, and then he's been bouncing around ever since Empire kind of went down. He was on Spirit for a while. I don't know if you remember Spirit very well back when they were big.
He was on MVP Phoenix and TIE 5.
Was he? I don't recall that.
Apparently.
Huh. No, they lost to MVP Phoenix. That's what that chart is saying.
Oh, okay. He was on Empire. Right.
Yeah, and then Silent was on Vega and Empire.
Hmm.
And Virtus Pro 1.2. I didn't know that one. But, like, I mean, yeah, these are players that have been around.
Okay.
So, Iceberg, where do I know Iceberg for? Was he with that mid for... yeah, he was that mid for Vega Squadron. That's right. I think he had a pretty incredible Wind Ranger game, which is, of course, why I remember mids.
That must be it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, these are all players who are not nobodies. Except for, and I'm not saying that Non Grata is a nobody, just I'm not familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at Non Grata's history, this appears to be the most high profile team that he's been on. So.
Yeah.
Very good hair, though. Wow.
Here, let me click on this picture. Damn, that is some good hair.
That's like glossy, right? That's a good look.
That's a lovely, what's his name? Alexei Vasilev, which is, of course, wrong. I'm sure. Nope, I'm not going to have Emma do it. I don't want to make more work.
Nope, it's fine. Yeah, I would, but he's, you know, Russian. What? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of Russian players. I think they're all two Ukrainian players. Two Ukrainian, three Russian. I guess they're not nobodies. I knew they probably had been in the scene. But a lot of them, they haven't been around for a while, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also, this team, they did register before the deadline. So I think there's a possibility if they win Epicenter, they could be in the top eight, maybe. I think.
Huh.
Maybe, because they haven't qualified for anything else. But they could easily go through the CIS qualifiers for TI the way they've been playing. Because, there were some weirdness with, the bans. They didn't ban, I think, Chen and Leshrac. This was when they played VP. And so Fly to the Moon picked Chen and Leshrac in game one. And game one was Chen, game two was Leshrac. And apparently that's, the big thing that won those games for them. But still, the games went pretty long. And, they were playing very well against these top tier teams. And they beat some of them. And it was just excellent. Wait, what? VP's out? They lost a Fly to the Moon?
I love it when these teams pop out of nowhere. And because one of my favorite things is watching these teams come out with players I've never seen before and getting a sense for what these players are like. And that's really exciting. It's too bad that I already know some of them. I'm not going to be surprised by Silent and Always Want to Fly. But I don't remember No Flare and Fear and Iceberg that well. And Non Grata is totally new to me. So that's great.
Yeah, it just feels like it's been so long since we've had an actual notable, underdog team, if you will.
Planet Dog?
Yeah, I mean, where are they now?
Yeah.
They did okay. They were doing that bad. And I think we mentioned them. But I don't know. To, have such decisive victories against VP, and they knocked out OG, it was uh-huh. Where the hell were these people?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just me. I'm often out of touch with the pro scene.
No, that's really exciting. And it makes me want to watch more of this tournament. I haven't been watching much lately, but my roommates are leaving town, and I'll be watching some Epicenter. That sounds great.
Same.
Well, Nick, let's keep this episode nice and brief, and let's just jump straight into a Jackie's Chow.
Da, 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 da.
Nick.
It's time.
It's time to discuss an issue that I've had with you for a while. A beef, if you will. Right?
Could you hold that thought 1 second? Let me just... Oh, what's this that I found on my desk? It says, king-size, low-fat snack... Twizzlers! Let me just pop one of these babies in my mouth while I listen to you talk. Mm.
Continue your uneducated spree, if you will. Mm-hmm. You had a possibility to lie and say they were red vines and be like, wow, these are terrible.
I would never lie about red vines. I respect you that much. Honestly, I don't respect you that much. I respect Jackie's Chow as a segment too much. You know what I mean?
I think I do. And I think I'm going to really elevate Jackie's Chow this week because you, my friend, have been slacking. When was the last time you went to a Taco Bell?
Man, we must be really scraping the bottom of the barrel if you're going for this one. I think it's been over a decade. I'm positive it's been over a decade.
Do you feel like you remember the menu very well?
Remember? I don't. I would be honestly flabbergasted if I ever knew the menu.
Do you think if you were presented with 10 items, some of which were real Taco Bell menu items, and some of which were things I made up, you'd be able to tell which was which? Welcome to Jackie's Chow.
Bump, bump, bump. Insert fight music here.
I actually play-tested this quiz, and it's a stumper.
Wow. Literally more work than, you know, Dota sometimes. That's great. I'm excited. I don't have confidence, but I will do my absolute best.
Okay, I'll be keeping track of your wins and losses over here.
I'm going to prepare myself with one more Twizzler. I'll have you know, I searched for red vines. I did try, but it looks like I'm going to have to buy a large quantity on Amazon. Or,
okay,
I guess, fly to the West Coast.
All right. Well, that's fair. You might have a special candy store in your area. But
yeah, probably.
So, you're ready for your 10 questions, and tell me which is real and which is a fake that I made. I'll wait for you to finish eating your Twizzlers.
I'm sorry, I was just really enjoying. It takes me a little while because the Twizzler is so chewy. It's got a nice bounce to it in your mouth, you know?
It does have a bounce to it, not unlike if you chewed on a Super Ball.
What is a Super Ball?
What?
Super Bowl?
No, Super Ball is like a branded like Super bouncy ball. It's like a small rubber ball that you throw and it bounces if you're a kid.
A Super Ball, aka Super Ball, is a toy bouncing ball based on type of synthetic rubber invented in 1964 by chemist Norman Stingley. It is extremely elastic, made of Zectron. Interesting.
Anyway. So, question one. Nacho fries, is that real or a fake?
Nacho fries. I think I have more respect for Taco Bell than this. How can you have nachos and fries? You'd either have to have both tortilla chips and French fries. You'd have to have the fried potato product in there and cheese. So I'm gonna say this is a 6 falsehood.
You're gonna do very badly on this quiz.
God
that
damn
was
it!
Real.
How can I need a look?
What? Yeah, no, go ahead.
What's
Google
it called?
It.
Nacho
fries. 2 words.
Nacho fries, Taco Bell. So it's what?
It's like taco seasoned fries, seasoned like breaded fries with a side of nacho cheese to dip
what?
Them in.
So it's just
also
fucking...
you can get them in a nacho configuration where they have on top of them ground beef and sour cream and diced tomatoes.
So it's like, I guess, like curly fries from Arby's, but straight and with, like, I guess, queso dip?
Well, the seasoning is more, like, I don't want to say Mexican. It's more Tex-Mex seasoning, right? It's
okay.
More like a packet of taco seasoning.
I'm trying to...
I guess you'll just
this.
Have to try them to understand.
I guess so.
Are you ready for your second?
I'm ready. Let me close the Taco Bell website. Okay.
6-layer burrito.
This is a trick question. It does have 6's name in it. I'm going to say this is a official Taco Bell menu item.
Unfortunately, there is a 5 and a 7, but the
what?
6 was your clue that
God
I made it.
Damn it!
Up.
I thought you were going to double cross me because
uh-huh.
the 6 is so obvious.
Uh huh.
But you
yep.
knew that you
it was
did
a triple
cross. Shit! Shit!
Okay.
Why would there be a 5 and a 7, but not a 6? Like, do you really need? Is it like a size thing as a five? Wait, also, how do you have a five-layer burrito?
Well, okay, so the layers are...
I'm looking this up.
It's the beefy five-layer burrito if you're looking for it.
So it's not like... It's not like tortilla beef, tortilla beef, tortilla beef, tortilla beef, right?
I mean, there are two tortillas. It's tortilla, beef, cheese, sour cream, beef, beans.
Why is it layered? Why would you... It's just a beef burrito with, I guess...
with a ring of nacho
cheese around
it. It's
literally a beef burrito with a ring of... Yeah, wrapped in... It's
pretty
like,
much...
It's like if, you know, sushi roll, like a sushi maki roll, yeah. And then you have the rice on the outside a lot of the time, and then you put another sheet of seaweed around it, and then more rice on top of it.
It's not bad.
I guess not.
It's a dollar. I mean, that's pretty good.
It says $1.89 on here, beefy five-layer burrito.
I wonder if it's based on your region or something. Or maybe it's just been a while since I had one.
It is trying to... will you allow TacoBell.com to access your location? Do not allow.
Well, anyway, you have 8 more items to go.
Okay.
Our number 3 item is Mexican spaghetti.
I need to theory craft this one. Mexican spaghetti. It could be actual spaghetti seasoned with like cumin, Mexican oregano, and you could use like a tomato product. I can't imagine what this is. I'm going to go with this is a Cullen creation.
You're correct. That one's a fake. That one's the gimme. So you
worried.
Got one so far.
It was like a 50-50 for me, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whew.
Okay. Number 4 is a Bell Burger.
Can you spell it, please?
It is 2 words. Bell as in Taco Bell. Burger as in burger.
I would imagine. I would imagine they have some kind of burger. I mean, they already have the ground beef, right? It wouldn't be too hard to put like a binder in there and make it into a patty. So I'm going to say this is on the menu, the Bell Burger.
It is a real item. It is no longer on the menu. And also, you made a misassumption. There's no binder. They just pile loose taco meat on a bun.
What?
Because they're animals.
I'm sorry. Bell Burger. So it's not even like a Sloppy Joe? It's just
taco meat on a bun.
What? It's so sad.
It used to be called a Bell Beefer.
Bell Beefer. There's a picture of it, and it looks like it's from the 70s. Oh. Okay, it looks like a little more like a Sloppy Joe in this picture, at least.
There are other ingredients, but it is just loose taco meat.
I guess it could be okay. I wouldn't knock it till I tried it. It could be very close to a Sloppy Joe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you've got 2 now.
Two. Racking them up. Sorry.
All right. Our number 5 is a Quesadilla Bel Grande.
Quesadilla Bel Grande. That's a real one.
It does have the format of a real one, but it is in fact a fake.
Oh my. What's the real analogy?
They have quesadillas. They have nachos Bel Grande, but there is no quesadilla Bel Grande.
What exactly does it mean to be Bel Grande?
Well, in their case, it means it has ground beef, diced tomatoes, and sour cream. That's the Bel Grande implication.
Okay. Damn. So, you just have a quesadilla with all those things?
I made it up, sure.
I guess so. Okay.
Okay. Our number 6 item, the Double Dia.
I know Taco Bell loves their double things, because they've had, like, the stupid Double Down before. That was a big deal in the past.
The Double Down was KFC.
Fuck. My strategy is thrown out the window. I'm going to go with real. I'm going to trust my gut. The double D? Yeah.
However, Taco Bell and KFC are the same company, Yum Foods. So, yes, the Double D is real.
Thank goodness. They love the double.
They do. They do. They also have the double-decker taco.
Two?
It's like a tortilla wrapped in like a hexagonal shape. with a hard shell, like, taco, like, layer in the
middle.
Hold on,
you've already confused me. A hexagonal shape?
Mm-hmm. Google a Crunchwrap.
Quesadilla is a Crunchwrap? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Taco Bell Crunchwrap. But, like, why... Is there something about the six sides? Crunchwrap Supreme. It really is hexagonal.
And it's got a little, like, tortilla shell, like, hard tortilla shell, like corn mm-hmm. shell, in the middle, dividing the vegetables and toppings from the beef and cheese.
Huh. That's so weird. It looks good, though. It's nice to have a little crunch in there.
So you said that one was fake, right?
I said it was real. Pretty sure it was real.
Okay. I didn't note it, which is my bad. All right. Well, you've got four so far, which is pretty good. It's better than my previous two test subjects got.
Maybe my ignorance. I just, like, I have a general sense of what Taco Bell as a brand would do. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's helping me out here.
Well, let's see how it takes you through number 8, the spicy beefarito.
I just went through about, like, 10 cycles in my mind. This is a 50-50. I'm going to post this to the 50-50 subreddit. Ah, shit. This is so plain. It's
but
so
it's such
plain.
A, it's such a nonsense word.
It is. It's so stupid. But Taco Bell would do something this stupid. But maybe Six, being a Taco Bell expert that he is, would know just how to, like, make up a name that would follow the Taco Bell brand format. Maybe he has the brand guidelines for Taco Bell. I know it's a very important answer, and I'll get punished if I get it wrong. I'm going to go with it's a real thing, spicy beefarito.
That's a fake.
I knew it. I knew 50-50. I'm not even going to... No, won't get upset.
What can I say? I'm good at this. I'm good at making
up
Taco Bell.
How is that not a real thing?
Right?
How? Amazing.
Okay. So our number 9 item, you're getting there, is the triple nacho taco.
The triple nacho taco. This sounds fake to me. I'm going to go with fake.
It is indeed fake.
Okay.
Okay, because, you have... Like,
Go ahead. What would be a triple nacho taco? Just seems like an obscenely large taco. And I mean, their creations are wild, but they're not normally huge, I feel like.
I mean, they have the XXL chalupa, but...
Oh, God. Well, one second. XXL chalupa. You know what? Boy, it's been so long since I've been to a Taco Bell. I used to... God. I think my parents... Why? In my childhood, I had memories of the Taco Bell Chihuahua, stuffed mm-hmm. animals that you would squeeze them and they would say something. Like, you know.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yo quiero Taco Bell. Something in chalupa. And they would have different sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a lot of those. Wow. Whatever happened to the Taco Bell chalupa? Did they drop at the Chihuahua? Did they drop the mascot?
I think they never did. I think you can still see it a few places, but they just, like, generally, I think the American industry as a whole has moved away from mascots.
That is true. It's sad. It's, you know, yeah. Maybe it's not.
Tragic,
I don't know,
really.
But I see, like, you know, these stupid Japanese commercials we've talked about in episodes past far too much for anyone to be interested. You know, they've got interesting... like icons going on, you know, they've got weird mascots, they've got these weird fake anime mascot things, and what do we have? You know, we've got Budweiser telling you to drink this nice piss with the boys.
So statistically speaking, Nick,
mm-hmm.
if you flip a coin 10 times, statistically you're likely to get heads 5 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you are 9 questions in, and you have 5 right, which means, unless you get this one right, a coin could have done as good of a job as you did.
Well, thank you.
So you better get this one right.
Are well, you ready for number 10? Basically every episode I'm on, though, so.
Is this real or fake? The Quesalupa.
The Quesalupa. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to think of what a chalupa honestly is. Is it... this is pretty sad. Is a chalupa a real Mexican type of dish? No, it's not? Okay.
No.
It's a real... It's a Taco Bell fabrication. That's what I thought. Yes. So quesalupa. Would you use a quesadilla? Well, now I actually don't know what a chalupa is for Taco Bell either is the issue.
I can explain that after the fact, but I'm afraid I'm going to need to answer you this one without that information.
Quesalupa. So I figure it would be a quesadilla used as the wrapper, I think, for a chalupa, which is kind of like that. I've forgotten even what it is. Maybe the double
beefy five-layer burrito?
Yes, beefy five-layer burrito. Was the double dia fake?
The double dia was something different. The double dia is just, it's a quesadilla, but they put twice as much meat in it. It's very unoriginal of them.
Okay. The quesalupa. I'm going to go with, it's real. Quesalupa.
Nick, you have beaten the coin flip.
I beat the coin.
6 out of 10. Good work.
Wow.
Okay. The quesalupa is indeed a chalupa where the shell is stuffed with cheese.
Quesalupa. Now, this is a true Taco Bell thing to me, in the way that, the double down is a true American heart attack KFC type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fried chalupa with cheese. It looks pretty good. It looks like I would also have to take a nap after eating it, but
it's okay.
It is. It actually looks pretty small in this picture.
Okay, of the 5 real items on here, let me see. I have had 4 of them.
Wow.
I've never had a Bell Burger because that was gone by the early 90s.
Yeah.
Quesalupa is fine, I guess.
Yeah. So, in 30th Street Station, there's an Amtrak station in Philly that I'm somewhat close to. Mm-hmm. In 30th Street Station, I believe there is a Taco Bell.
And I've made you want to get it so badly.
That's definitely what's happened, yes.
If I were... You really want to get some Mexican spaghetti.
Absolutely. Let me dig in. If I were to go there and get something after returning, it's been a decade since me and Taco Bell have talked, what should I get?
What's your budget?
I mean, can I really break the bank?
No, but
Taco Bell?
Well, the thing about Taco Bell budgets is it's a place you can go when you're like, I have $2. I want to have a meal. But if you're like, I've got $10, I want to have a meal, then I can be a little more extravagant.
I'm going to say I'll go with a $10 option if I'm, I'm feeling like Mr. Moneybags at Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would recommend a chicken quesadilla. That's a very good go-to. So that's cheese and chicken and then their quesadilla sauce, which is a sort of a spicy. I would compare it to a very mild chipotle sauce almost.
Hmm. Okay.
That's nice. I would have... You should probably have a chalupa.
I probably should.
They don't make the nacho cheese chalupa anymore, which was my favorite. Are you a sour cream fan?
I like sour cream. Like sour stuff.
Okay, what I would do is I would get a chalupa supreme and then pay a little extra to have them add nacho cheese to it.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. So a chicken quesadilla and a chalupa supreme with added nacho cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would get a side of cheesy fiesta potatoes.
Ooh, now it's a party.
That's basically just skillet potatoes with nacho cheese and sour cream. It's enjoyable.
Okay.
And then you should probably get a Mountain Dew Baja Blast because that's their exclusive flavor of soda, try that.
I've had this before. I've forgotten about Mountain Dew Baja Blast. That was really, again, it's been a decade. That was pretty refreshing, if I remember.
And it was kind of a big deal that they had a unique flavor of a major soda.
They still have that. Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, it's nice. Hmm. It pairs very well.
I wonder what the hell it tastes like, because I cannot remember. I just remember it was a big deal.
It's just sort of crisp and refreshing tropical flavor, I would say. But I guess you'll have to try it to find out. With that, like, with what you just ordered, that's, I'm guessing, going to be like $7 or $8.
Okay. That's the reason that, you know, can do that.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's going pricey for Taco Bell.
That's great. You could, so what would the budget option be then?
I mean, if you wanted to do budget option, I would get triple layer nachos. Mm-hmm. That's $1. I would get a beefy 5-layer burrito. That's, yeah, depending on your region, probably like $1.50 to $2. I would get a Baja Blast because that's basically not optional. The third, and then I would get like a mini shredded chicken quesadilla, which is $1, probably. Okay. You know, you've got options. They also have like deals from time to time where you can pay $5 and get a like a pre-made box of food, right? Where it's like, this is the $5 cravings deal. You get these things and a drink, and like sometimes those are a good deal.
Hmm. Okay. Well, maybe this week I'll try to do that. I'll see if I'm just like I'm hanging out. Yeah, it's not too far. It's like a probably 15-20 minute walk from when I'm on campus for school. I'll see what happens.
Listeners and also Nick, I enjoy Taco Bell because I don't have a lot of money and I make lots of bad decisions. please do not take this segment as advertising for Taco Bell or an encouragement for you to go to Taco Bell. If you are like me and you go to Taco Bell anyway because you are sad and have a shallow, empty life, then we can revel in this and have a little fun with the fact that we're hollow husks of people.
I feel like it kind of fits the tone of Jackie's Chow, though, pretty perfectly. Like, Jackie Mao. If I ever met him in person, like if I went to Jackie Chow, I'd be like, "Hi, Mr. Chow." Oh no. Oh, guys, look over there. It's Jackie Chow. Oh no,
it's
shit.
Chairman Chow.
Chairman Chow. If I what was I talking about? I feel like this is something. This is advice that he would need. Like if he was gonna go, because he doesn't want to. I think cook for himself a lot. Or, mm-hmm. You know, can't. And so he would go to a Taco Bell. Do they have Taco Bells in, where the hell, Malaysia?
He's in Malaysia, I don't know. I mean, like, so he can still get it on the road when he's at, like, majors and tournaments and stuff at LANs. And then the other thing is we know that Jackie goes to McDonald's. And if you're going to McDonald's, Taco Bell is, I would say, a step above McDonald's. Not a very big step, but yes. Hmm.
It seems like Kuala Lumpur does not have Taco Bell. Okay. But hey, you know, he's a traveling man. He gets around.
Yeah, I guess he'll just have to get it at ESL New York. It's like, hang on, guys, hang on. I know we're supposed to play Vici, but...
I need to go make myself sick by eating all this greasy food.
But my friend Six from this podcast I don't listen to told me I need to get a chicken quesadilla.
These two creepy guys who have a segment named after me where they talk, I guess, about food on a Dota 2 podcast. Recommended this, so please pause.
All right, well, I think that's it for this episode of Bottle Crow.
Yeah, nice. We got through it.
I think this is the first time we've been under an hour in many months?
Too long.
Yeah, in a while.
It's nice. You know, I delayed our podcast recording for last week, and then we didn't have a huge interval until this episode, and so we got back to our garbage roots, I feel like.
Yeah, just have a nice, light, refreshing podcast, almost as light and refreshing as Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
We really ought to get paid.
For what?
I don't know, to take out the garbage. Can you, like, you can, in some states and some places, recycle bottles, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, you can do that here in California.
You should turn us in. You should turn us in. That's what you should do, to the police.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For a small reward.
Well... thank you everyone for listening. This has been another episode of Bottle Crow Reborn. We're on your podcatcher. You should tell other friends to look us up on their podcatcher, and that'll be cool. I want to give a big thank you to Jeffrey Bryce, a.k.a. Pomodi, for use of his Harmonies of New Bloom music pack, which is our intro and outro here on the show. No, it's not.
We're
not
Highlander
on,
right now.
We're on Highlander these days. I'm sorry. I went into autopilot. That was my bad. Highlander music pack is in the Steam Workshop if you want to vote for it and help it get into the game. We like it quite a bit. I also want to give a big thank you to Ashley Ryan, a.k.a. Sfimi, who did our podcast art. If you would like a commission of your own,
Orn.
A commission of your own, or just want a gothic commission, or just gawk at commissions other people have made, you can go to twitter.com/Zvimmy or patreon.com/Zvimmy. I don't feel like I want to promote anything else. I think we're good. We already sold out to Taco Bell so much.
Yeah. Boy, I already feel like I'm full of grease with how even having gone there.
Somewhere, someone just listened to this podcast and at Taco Bell HQ and is walking away and took off their headphones and just like pauses in the hallway and goes, Mexican spaghetti, huh?
No! And it's a zoom out into the earth.
Indeed. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Peace out.